the book of Isaiah. We're going to continue to look at, I can't say brief anymore, overview of Isaiah, but an overview of Isaiah nonetheless. So we're going to pick up, we're going to be over in Isaiah chapter number 41 today. I understand that Eric did some connections with Isaiah last time in the Gospels, so I'll try not to duplicate what he did. And of course, the book of Isaiah is a big book, so we won't have to worry about that so much. You will recall, I trust, that when you're in this section of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40 through Isaiah chapter number 66, you are definitely in the second section of Isaiah. And in this section of Isaiah, there are a number of themes that are running through from this point to the rest of the book. One of the themes that we want to focus on this morning in particular is some news or some very key information that pertains to the little flock, specifically to the little flock, and how God was promised to protect them and preserve them through what we would refer to as the tribulation period. And so this morning we're going to take a look at some of those details here. Now, if you'll turn with me over to Isaiah chapter number 41, look over to Isaiah chapter number 41. I want to point out a couple of things first in this section here, kind of as an overview, if you might say. Look over to Isaiah chapter 41, look at verse 4. I'm just going to point out some phrases here that you're going to see throughout this next section. Isaiah 41, verse 4, and it says this, Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? Now notice the next phrase there. I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He. You see that phrase there? Stay in that same chapter. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Look over to chapter number 42. Look over to chapter number 42 at verse 8. Chapter 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Look over to chapter 43. I'm just picking out some key phrases, some highlights here. Look over to chapter number 43, verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Stay in that same chapter, verse 11. I, even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Verse 12. I have declared and have saved. I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witness, saith the Lord. I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He. Look at verse 14. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Look at verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. If you'll go over to 44, go to chapter 44. Look over to chapter number 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Jump down to verse 8. Jump down to verse 8. Towards the end of the verse, it says, is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Stay in that same chapter, 44. Chapter 44. Look at verse 23. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and glorified himself in Israel. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Chapter 45. By the way, are you seeing some consistent phrases every time we're reading this? Are you kind of seeing a theme through here? Look at chapter 45. Verse 5. He says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known thee. That they may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and His Maker. Jump in that same chapter at verse 22. Verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from an ancient time and hath told it from the time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Look over to 47. You know, it's 46 verse 9, then we'll get to 47. 46 verse 9 says this, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done and so on. 47. Look at verse 8. Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. I shall not sit as... That's not the verse I'm looking for. 48. Verse 12. There it is. I had completely the wrong reference there. 48:12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am He. I am the first. I also am the last. This section here, when you go through about chapter 41 all the way to 47, there is a repeated statement by God identifying Himself to Israel, and in particular to the believing remnant. And there are several phrases that appear that we noted. First of all, there's a phrase, I am. Okay? And then fill in, we'll talk about that in just a second, okay? When is the first time in the Bible that you remember where God identifies Himself as I am? Moses, what, where? Exodus. Remember Exodus chapter number 3? If turn back there with me if you would. Go to Exodus here real quick. Go to Exodus chapter number 3 and you're going to see verse 13 and 14. Exodus 3, verse 13 and 14. Okay? When God calls Moses to go and deliver the nation of Israel out of Egypt, He goes and calls Moses to deliver the nation of Israel out of satanic captivity in Egypt. That's important to think about that phrase. He calls the Savior, Moses, to deliver Israel out of satanic captivity. And when he tells Moses this, look at verse 13, Exodus 3:13. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. That's when God identifies Himself for the first time as I am. Now, what's interesting about that statement, I am? It's not a complete sentence. Okay? What else is interesting about that statement there? Okay, present tense. I am. Not what I used to be or will be, but I am and always will be, right? Yes, exactly. Isn't that fascinating? So when... What's that? But what's it obviously missing? It's missing... It's missing whatever the I am is. Right? Okay? When God brings Israel out of Egypt, Remember all the various tests that they go through. Each test that they go through answers, or I should say it this way, fills in the blank. Right? When he defeats Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea, what did he just answer? I am what? That's exactly. I'm your deliverer, your conqueror. When he provides Israel the food and water in the wilderness, what is he saying? I am what? Your sustainer, your blesser, and so forth. Each test that they go through answers or fills in the blank and basically says, Israel, I am to you whatever you need me to be. I am your God. When God has the prophet Isaiah in this section, you know, 41 through 47, you've got the repeated reference to I am and I am God. I am the Lord. I am thy Redeemer. I am thy Holy One. I am the Creator of Jacob. See how he's taking you back to their foundation as it's just like Jehovah God is the one that sent the Savior to redeem them out of Egyptian satanic captivity, so too in the book of Isaiah, Israel is seen in the satanic captivity of the Antichrist. And God is reminding Israel, and He's speaking on behalf of the little flock, and He's reminding them, listen guys, the same God that got you out of Egypt, I am, is the same God that you need to trust to get you through the time of Jacob's trouble. That's why, again, in that section, if you go back, you can let go of Exodus there. Go back with me. Look at some of these phrases here. Go back to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 4. Let's just pick up a few of these phrases because you can fill this in your own personal Bible study time. It says, who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I am. Whenever you see capital letters for Lord, all capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital RD, that's for, we would say in an English pronunciation of a Hebrew word, you'd say Jehovah is how you typically say it, okay? The first and with the last, I am. See the connection with the great I am there? If you look at stay in the same chapter, verse 14. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord. Notice, and thy, what? Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Here's, I am thy Redeemer. He's the Holy One of Israel. And let's just look at a couple of more here. Look over to chapter number 42. Look over to chapter number 42. Let's just look at, you can see at verse 8. I am, there it is again, that's Jehovah there. That was the name that God told Israel to be known, that he would be known by. This is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. The whole section here in Isaiah, it's set against the backdrop of the graven images of the Gentiles. The graven images of the Gentiles are what? What are those graven images? They're just idols. And depicting what? Representing who? Satan and the lie program. So you've got this backdrop against the Gentiles out there that are completely given off into satanic idolatry. Israel also given over to that. And God seeking to remind Israel that I'm your God. Those Gentiles go and create their own gods, but I created you, God is saying to Israel. So what a great contrast there. All right? Look at something else, if you would. Go to chapter 43. Chapter 43. And notice verse 3. 43, verse 3. For I am, there's that phrase again. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy, what? Savior. Just like the I am thy Savior when he brought Israel out of Egypt and destroyed Pharaoh and his army. Look over at verse 43, verse 11. I, even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. The last part of verse 12. I am God. Verse 13. Yea, before the day was, I am He. Verse 14. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Look at verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. So what he does through this section, he connects Israel back with their history when they came out of Egypt by Moses, the great I Am that appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And it's the same I Am back there that is the I Am that's going to get them through the time of Jacob's trouble. And he identifies himself as, I am thy Savior, I am thy King, I am thy Redeemer, I am thy Creator. All those great I Am titles. And again, you can fill in these details as you go back and read through this section. Now, Eric last time made some connections with Isaiah and the Gospels. So maybe you're way ahead of me on this one and so forth. Did anyone else in the New Testament use the I Am phrase at all? Yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ. What does He say? The Lord Jesus Christ says, like what? I am what? Okay, I am the bread of life. Okay? Okay, I'm the bread of life. What else did He say? I am the living water. Okay? Actually, the way where's the marker? He says, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but if they'll drink of the water He gives, they'll shall not thirst. He says, I am what? I am the light. I am the way, truth, life. I am the door. Remember all those great I Ams? Jesus Christ is claiming to be the person of Isaiah. I am the true vine, He says. He's the true nation. Remember? Because Isaiah is the one that said God brought a vine out of Egypt and planted them into His land. And Christ comes along and says, I'm the true vine. They had their true life in Christ, okay? Not just a vine, but the true vine. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when He claims to be the I Am, and all these various aspects of it, it's interesting how Bible skeptics and critics, they say, well, Jesus Christ never claimed to be God. What are you talking about? It would be utter blasphemy. Go ahead. John chapter number 8. Exactly right. Look over that passage there. Look over to chapter number 8. That's exactly right. Get John chapter number 8, and then if you would also stay there in Isaiah. Oops. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Watch this. John chapter number 8, verse 58. Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was... What's he there? You know, when people say, well, Jesus Christ never claimed to be God, I say, well, okay, do you want to talk about something else? Or, you know, something else you maybe have some insight on? Absolutely. When Jesus Christ claims the I Am, if you think of each of the I Am claims that He made about Himself, I am the living bread, I came down from heaven, I am the light of the world. Each of those aspects, once again, connects it back with the nation of Israel when they were brought out of Egypt, rescued from satanic bondage, Pharaoh's army was destroyed, they go through the Red Sea, they're out in the wilderness where God takes care of them. And each one of those, the bread of life, the water, the way, the truth, the life, and so forth. Every one of those aspects answers those illustrations back there, those actual real-life situations back there. And Christ says, you know, He's basically saying, hey guys, I'm the one that got you out of Egypt way back then, and I'll get you through the tribulation now. I'm the one that took you through that. I'm the one that appeared to Moses, and I'll take you through the tribulation period now, is what Christ is doing out here in the Gospels, okay? It is interesting that in that context, when He says, before Abraham was... Go back to Isaiah 41. This is where it said about Abraham. Look at Isaiah 41, verse 8. Isaiah 41, 8 says this, but thou, Israel, art my servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my what? That's a key verse. There are not too many people in the Bible that are actually said to be called the friend of God. Abraham's one of them. And it's in the setting and the context of Isaiah 41 through 47, where you have God the Lord repeatedly, I am thy Redeemer. I am thy Blesser. I am thy King. I am thy Creator. And I am, and Abraham was my friend. And then, of course, you have the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament claiming the same thing for himself. And he brings up, hey, before Abraham was, Abraham was my friend. Isn't that fascinating? You know? So when you read through this section, there, you definitely want to make the connection with the Lord of Isaiah is the Lord Jesus Christ of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is one and the same person. Another interesting thing to keep in mind, if you're there in Isaiah 41, look at verse 4. Isaiah 41, verse 4, it says, who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I am the Lord. Now notice, the first and with the last. Now, do you know anybody else in the New Testament that picks up on that phrase and again connects it with the Lord Jesus Christ? Anybody else in the New Testament do that? In Revelation, exactly right. Go with me to Revelation chapter number 1 here. Go to Revelation chapter number 1. John the writer, who is the author of the book of John and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and of course now also the book of Revelation here. Look over to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. And you can see, if you look at verse 8, it says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Jump ahead to verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Just a real quick but important side note. Whenever you read that verse, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, don't think about Sunday. That's a prophetic phrase. The Lord's day is not a reference to Sunday. It's a reference to the day of the Lord, the tribulation period, okay? So, he says, I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. See that? So what happens, look at verse 12, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one light, guess who he sees? The Son of Man. There's the Lord Jesus Christ. So John the writer, being given the revelation of Christ by the Father, clearly identifies the Lord Jesus Christ here as the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. And again, if you look down to verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Please, next to that verse, write down Isaiah chapter 41 through 47, or just make a note, so that when you see the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, at the start of the tribulation period, he's calling to the nation of Israel. John is a representative. John is a picture of the believing remnant going through the tribulation period, right? And when the Lord Jesus Christ says, John falls down at his feet and Christ touches him and lifts him up and he says, fear not, I am the first and the last. Look over to Isaiah 44. Let me see if I have the right reference here. That's it, exactly right. 44:6. Look at 44:6. 44:6 of Isaiah, and make the connection. It says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to John, John is a representative of the believing remnant through the tribulation period. They're being persecuted and hounded by the Antichrist and by the rebellious system and so forth. And Christ is saying to them, right here in the first chapter of John, of Revelation, he's saying to these guys, if you'll look again back at verse 18 of Revelation 1 now, I am he that liveth and what? Was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. He's obviously been raised from the dead. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death and so on. Okay? So, one important note to keep in mind as you read through this section of the book of Isaiah, just on a piece of paper or somewhere, jot down your notes. You're going to see the repeated reference to I am, and then a statement following it. I am your Redeemer. I am your King. I am your Creator. I am your Blesser. I am the Holy One. Things like that. And again, it's to remind the nation of Israel as they're going through that tribulation period that the same God that sent Moses way back in their former history to bring Israel out of the satanic captivity of Egypt is the same God that's going to bring them through the captivity of the Antichrist during the tribulation period. Now, there's another theme that runs through this section. By the way, any questions on that so far? Okay, there's another theme that runs through this section here. It's incredibly wonderful to think about this. Go back with me now if you're in the book of Isaiah. There's another theme that runs through this section here. When the nation of Israel, watch this. Go to chapter 43. Go to chapter number 43. And I'm going to read a couple of verses, and I'm going to ask you, something needs to come to your mind when you think about these verses. Okay, 16. 43, 16. 43, 16, and it says this. It says, thus saith the Lord, watch this, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Okay, what's that sound like?
The Red Sea.
That's probably what you meant, right? But the Red Sea. Because isn't that what God did? He made a way in the sea, and He made a path in the mighty waters. Everybody see that verse there? Now keep reading. Which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Okay, what's the obvious picture in verse 16 and 17? The crossing of the Red Sea, the preserving of the nation of Israel, and the destruction of Pharaoh and his armies. See that there? Okay, so see how Isaiah is clearly going back to their history and saying, Israel, get this picture in your mind. It happened for a reason. Look at the next verse now. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. What's he saying in verse 18? Yeah, remember that stuff. Bring it to your mind. He's telling Israel, Israel, go back and think about your history. I brought you out of Egypt. I did an impossible task. I parted the mighty waters. And the chariots came forth and I crushed them. And he says, now bring that back to your frame of reference. That was in the past. And we're going to do this again out there in the future. See what's going on here? Okay, so in this section here, Isaiah 41 through 47, there's a repeated call for the nation of Israel to once again think about their past deliverance, their past redemption, their past, how God blessed them and provided for them. When they came out of Egypt, He not only demonstrated His capacity to be, I am thy Savior. In fact, He was known as a man of war. Remember that? But as they went through, as they were being pursued, what did He also provide for them in the wilderness? Remember, what did He give them? Manna and quail and water. Exactly right. Okay, so now watch this. This theme is going to run all the way through this section here. Go to chapter 41 now. Go to chapter number 41. I'm jumping into the context here. You're going to have to fill in the details in your own personal study time. But watch this. Look at verse 17 of chapter 41. It says this. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none. Okay, stop for just a second. Israel came out of Egypt. They go into the wilderness. What do they need? They need water. What did they get? They got water. But this thing's going to be repeated. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. So he's saying, just like I didn't forsake them back there, something's going to happen out here in the future. Here's what I'm going to do. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Just like back there when Moses smote the rock and out came the gushing water, the nation of Israel is going to have to flee from the Antichrist and his armies. The Lord Jesus Christ told them, when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, then flee to the what? Not the valleys, but the what? The mountains, the high places. He just said right there, in high places I'm going to bring forth water. And they're going to go and flee to those high places, and they're going to need water. And God says, no problem, I've got my reserves out there already. Okay, it's not these bottled waters. God's got water out there in the mountains. And He's going to bring forth that water for those people. It's actually going to happen. By the way, why are they going to be poor and needy?
They didn't take the mark.
Say it loud. Because they refused to take the mark of the beast. And if you refuse to take the mark of the beast, you can't do what? You can't buy or sell. You cannot even participate in the economy at all. You can't even go get a bottle of water from the grocery store. And they're going to have families, children, and so forth. They're going to be poor and needy. They're going to flee to the mountains. And God already has the thing set up ahead of time to take care of them, to provide for them. Not only that, watch what else He promises to do. Verse 19. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, the myrtle, the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together. What's He doing there? They're going to go flee to the places like in the wilderness when they came out of Egypt. And they're going to flee out there, and God is going to cause to come up out of the ground all these trees. He's not going to have much time. So, what did He just do there? What's that? Gives him shade. Good. What else? He demonstrates something else here. That's what He just did. Do you understand what He just did right here? He says, guys, do you maybe happen to remember the 6 days of creation? The Lord made to come up out of the ground, the seed, the plants, the trees. And God says, you know what? I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again for my remnant. They're out there in the wilderness. They're being persecuted and rejected by the Antichrist and so forth. And I want my remnant's going to flee out there. I'm going to give them water, and I'm going to bring up off the ground like the 6 days of creation. And they're going to know that I am God. And I'm going to give them all this place of protection. Isn't that fascinating to think about that? I mean, anyway, let's keep going. This is pretty cool. this is kind of neat stuff here. Look at all the trees they're going to get. You've got the cedar, the shittah, you've got the myrtle, you've got the oil. You've got the fir, you've got the pine and the box. You've got all those different trees there. Didn't God say to Adam and Eve, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat? Fascinating. Here you have all these various trees for, you can build houses, you can get oil and so forth. Look at verse 20. Now the result of this is going to be this, that they may see and know and consider and understand that the hand of the Lord hath done this. The Holy One of Israel hath, next two words there, just like Genesis. See that? The believing remnant, one of the things that the book of Isaiah holds out to the remnant, it's like saying to the remnant, is that you're going to have to trust me about this one. You're going to flee out to that wilderness and you're going to know where to go. Isaiah is going to tell them where to go too, by the way. Okay? People refer to it as the Petra and things like that. You go out there, and I've got everything set up for you. And I'm going to bring forth the water, and then I'm going to bring up out of the ground all that you need. What a tremendous testimony to God as the Creator.
Time to buy land.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Now, what I want you to do, I'm going to have you jump ahead to chapter 43. Chapter 43. The same theme is carried through. This whole section here, the same theme. All right? Go to chapter 43 now. Verse 1. But now, thus... Man, how can I skip over... I can't skip over chapter 42. There comes the Lord. The Lord's in chapter 42. That's the servant of chapter 42, right? But for time's sake, let me jump to chapter 43. Chapter 43. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I am... For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Now watch verse 2. See how God owns them. You belong to me, I'll protect you. See how God owns them right there? When thou passest through the waters, such as when they came through the Red Sea. But that's a picture of something. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. Now watch this next phrase. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. There is Israel going through the tribulation period. It's exactly what that verse is. When Peter says in 1 Peter, I want you to write this reference down. This question came up, I think, 2 weeks ago about, well, wait a minute, when did Peter write and who's he writing to and so forth. Peter is not writing to you. Neither is James and John. James, Peter, and John are apostles of the circumcision. And if you look over at 1 Peter 4, Peter is the apostle of the circumcision, and he was preparing the nation of Israel to go through the tribulation period. You are not Israel, and you're not going through the tribulation period. Okay? Listen, it doesn't matter what anybody says. It matters what the Word of God says about this, right? It doesn't matter the theological positions that people can say. It's what the Word of God says. Isaiah, right there, clearly says, when you go through the fire, it will not hurt you. The flames won't even kindle upon you. Well, it's no wonder that Peter can say this to his audience. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. It says this. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Why would Peter say to his audience, think it not strange that you're going through the trial of the fire? Why would that not be strange for them? Because they already taught about it back here. They were prepared to go through it. Jesus Christ prepared Peter and the other apostles to take Israel through the tribulation period. Christ said to the apostles, when you see the abominations of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, right? He prepared the nation of Israel to go through the tribulation period. When Peter says, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, Peter's taking his audience right back to the promises back here like in Isaiah. Now, quickly, if you would, go back to Isaiah 43. You should have another passage that comes to your mind. Isaiah 43, verse 2, the last part of the verse here. The last half. Notice what it says. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Thank you, sir. What is it? Yeah, Daniel. Yes, sir. There you go. Something like that. Write down Daniel 3:27. That's what he said, right? Just in tongues or whatever. Remember. Who was thrown into the fire? And remember when the king looks in the fire, he sees four men in the fire. They only threw three in. Go read Daniel 3. Who was the fourth? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they came out of the fire, you know what it said? Not the ropes were burned off their hands, but not a single hair of their flesh was even singed with fire. That's that verse, friends. That's that verse right there. Now, Daniel, interestingly enough, the events of Daniel happen after Isaiah's prophecy, right? Because Isaiah prophesies before the captivity. Daniel gets his details after the captivity. And it's just interesting that in Daniel's book, in the book of Daniel, that event with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and so forth, you just wonder if they thought about that verse right there. You know? What, this is tremendous, isn't it? Okay, stay in the same chapter. Same chapter. Give me like two or three more minutes. Watch this here. We started at verse 16, so let me just run down through the references. Please make the connection. Thus saith verse 16, 43, 16, thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and path in the mighty waters. He's reminding them about their brink being brought out of Egypt and the destruction of the Pharaoh and his armies, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and his power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched together. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. He says, remember those former things, remember them because they're a pattern of something that's going to come next. Now look at the next statement. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He's going to do exactly the opposite way he did back there. Back there, he had to make a way through the water. Now he's got to make a way in the wilderness. Back there, he had to divide the waters and make a dry land for them to walk across. Now he's got to make water for them. See this? He says, not only that, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Therefore, you're going to have something to drink. The beast of the field shall honor me. The dragons, the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. There it is right there. He's going to give them water and bread. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Remember when he says the beast of the field shall honor me? Remember when Elijah had the run from Ahab? Where did he go? And how did he get fed? The ravens. They brought him bread. Well, God says, you know what? My chosen, my remnant. See verse 21, the last part of verse 20. To my people, my chosen, that's the believing remnant. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. That remnant, they're going to flee out into the wilderness there. God's going to provide water for them. He's going to provide trees for them. The beasts of the field are going to come and bring food to them. Just like in the days of Elijah and so forth. And they're going to be able to make it through that last half of the tribulation period once the mark of the beast is going to be enforced. And they're going to be his testimony. They're going to say, see, these guys survived completely apart and without any assistance from the mark of the beast, from participating in that Baal worship system and from Mr. Babylon. They shall be mine, it says, in the day when I shall make up my jewels. What's that? There will be dragons out there. Yes. Definitely, yeah. Anyway, that's if you'll read through this section, and I know you will, just kind of look for it with those eyes. You see clues? These are clues for that nation of Israel to trust in God's Word, okay? Any questions? Yes, Eric, go ahead.
First part of Isaiah 43, verse 2, is talking about passing through the waters. And
yes.
Rivers. Is that a reference to Revelation 12, where the
dragon... It is, and that's the kind of connection to make. What Eric's bringing up there in Revelation chapter number 12, when the dragon spews out his water to try to drown them and so forth, the earth opens her mouth and the water can't get to them. That's exactly those kind of connections to make. It's exactly what that is, yeah. All those little phrases, make the connections. All those little phrases, okay? Very good. Well, in that particular case, how much detail we get into. That particular case, he drinks up Jordan and he vomits it out to try to drown them. So he tries to do what he couldn't do when they came through the Red Sea back then. But the earth opens her mouth and swallows the water up. So like a big earthquake almost, so they don't drown. Okay? Yeah, the book of Job talks about how Leviathan, he takes up Jordan into his mouth. He's going to drink that thing in and then spew it out at him. No doubt. Yeah. 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 But then what? Yeah. That would be a pretty frightening sight, right? Okay, let's take a break here for about 10 minutes and then we'll get started.